Hello and welcome. You're listening to Speaking of Urology, the official podcast for Urology Times. As always, our commitment is to deliver urologists and allied health professionals timely and informative insights from leaders in the specialty. Our exclusive interviews bring expert analysis, practice advice, and policy perspectives to help our listeners practice more efficiently. I'm your host and assistant editor, Janelle Hart. Today I'm speaking with Dr. Diana Londono. She discusses how and why urologists are succumbing to burnout and depression and suggests ways in which they can improve their mental health in their everyday practice. Londono is a urologic oncology surgeon and assistant clinical professor in the Department of Surgery at the City of Hope National Medical Center in Duarte, California. So what does compassionate healthcare mean to you?
Yeah, thank you so much. And I really appreciate, first of all, being here and speaking about this, because I think these are really important things that we don't speak about enough in our, you know, daily life, whether we're at work or, you know, with friends or with people. But, you know, compassionate healthcare really means, you know, trying to cultivate kindness and kind of love for ourselves and good wishes. And it really gets to the core of what it means to be human, that we're just not perfect and that, you know, we have to have compassion for ourselves, meaning, again, understanding the imperfection of humanity. And when we come to the world or to work or to healthcare with that lens, we start seeing that we are not different than each other. We can see what is the sameness about each other. And it's a more sort of expansive world and lens that we see each other from, as opposed to one where we show up with an ego and it's closed and we're perfect and we know all the answers. And it's a very different lens. So obviously in surgery or urology, but any surgical field, it tends to be more associated with these, you know, not with a compassionate lens, but more of with an ego and I know everything and I'm perfect, and something that is kind of taught to us in healthcare that we have to be perfect. And then when we fall short of that, because we are human and we will, because we're not perfect, then we start spiraling down into shame and guilt and anxiety and, you know, imposter syndrome. And then it becomes just a place where, you know, it's just not healthy anymore, but we just have to repress that and keep going.
So what prompted your interest in becoming a life coach as well as a urologist?
I mean, if we look at the data, I mean, we're really in a state of crisis, really. And the fact that we're kind of not acknowledging it is a little bit of, you know, a sad point in time, because if we look at the data and the numbers that, you know, last year, 2020, urologists were the number one specialty that was burned out. And obviously this year was surpassed by being number four, because the specialties that were really in the front lines, you know, critical care, you know, really started to go higher than us, but really we're number four, that, you know, 2021. And I mean, that's kind of scary knowing those numbers, that that's our specialty, which is supposed to be a happy specialty. We joke around, but then we're burned out. And especially more so in women in all specialties, but we have to look at the numbers and how that is affecting us. That's just, you know, data from Medscape. And, you know, then you start looking at not sort of burnout, but then the rates of anxiety and depression, suicidal ideation. You know, 13% of all doctors have suicidal ideation, and more than 400 per year of physicians will complete suicide. I mean, that is a tragedy of medicine. So kind of looking at the numbers, you know, really in my years as a urologist, I've been burned out twice, which I was like, wow, I didn't really know you could happen twice. Even though you know about it, you know, academically, you know what burnout is, you don't know what it is until it kind of hits you in the face. Cause you don't wake up one day and I'm like, oh, I'm burned out. You just are like angry all the time and frustrated. And, you know, you're short tempered and you're just tired and you don't know why. And then you realize like, oh yeah, I'm totally burned out. And sometimes other people have to point it out to you, like, maybe you need like anger management classes, or maybe you need a vacation, or wow, you really have become very negative. And then you're like, whoa, what's going on? But again, we don't live and work in an environment of introspection and pausing and resetting and really thinking like, why am I feeling angry all the time? We just plow through and we don't stop and reset. So I was burned out first, just kind of a couple of years after my, you know, finished my residency. And at that time, I really, you know, went to therapy and got Zoloft and I quit my job. And I sort of reset in my neurotransmitters that were out of whack. And that was helpful. And, you know, I kind of got through it. But then this time, you know, I really actually wasn't depressed or anxious, but I was just in a negative cycle of like spinning thoughts and loops. And I found like life coaching, and I found it so powerful that I said, well, not only do I need coaching, but I want to kind of learn about it because then maybe I can help other people. And it's like, why spend, you know, a certain amount to be coached when I can like learn the other skill, which would be a skill for life. So the second time I said, I got to do something different because this is like not working. And I also don't want to be a statistic. You know, I don't want to be a statistic where I will be suicidal or, you know, complete suicide. I have little kids, like they don't deserve a mom that's not present, you know? And so that's really why I decided to do life coaching. And life coaching is really not something new. I mean, sounds like kind of trendy, but it really is. And it's been, the concepts have been around forever. And it's about, you know, like Buddhist principle, like introspection, quieting the mind, meditation. You know, coaching is not truly about meditation, but it's about awareness. Why are we thinking that? Why are those beliefs? Understanding that the circumstance that happens is sort of like a neutral circumstance. Like say, for example, somebody's late in your clinic, they just show up late. And then you have a thought about that, but you don't realize you had a thought, but then you just start feeling angry, or maybe you feel happy about it. And then how you then feel for that moment will probably shape your whole day. And then how you act and what you do and the results for the day. Because when you start realizing, say somebody's late, I could either be like really upset and be like, how can they do this? And just be angry. And I'm going to show up to that patient and every patient after just snappy and impatient and not really wanting to listen because I'm annoyed. And then the whole day is just going to be painted in that spectrum. But then I can be like, wow, fantastic. You know, they're late. I have 5 more minutes to do something else. And then I'm like, this is great. I had time to catch up on this. And just the same situation, how then you interpret that with your thoughts, the whole day is different. But then you have to have awareness that we have a choice. I can be really upset and be grumpy, or I can just see the positive in this and be like, how could this be helpful today? And then you arrive at a different place. So that's sort of kind of how I came to it, why I find it so important, and how it really empowers us to change how you want to like live your life, either like reactive and angry, or like more calm and introspective and like growing. Like, how can we grow? How can we evolve? What can I learn from this? As opposed to like, I know all the answers, I'm perfect. It's very different.
Yeah, absolutely. So in your opinion, do you think that burnout and wellness are adequately addressed in urology? And if not, what could be done to improve provider well-being?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we were not number one and number four, I would say, yeah, we're doing an amazing job, but we really aren't. And then it's sort of like, well, where are we putting our focus? Where are we talking about this in, you know, more open manner? Are these sessions that we're talking about in AUA? I mean, is this talked about? Are these discussed in research papers? Are we talking about this a lot more, or we're not? Because where you put your money is where your beliefs are. Because money is not an evil tool, it's a tool. And you can do great things with money, or you can do evil things with money. So if your beliefs, if you believe that this is important, you're going to back it up in some ways. So I don't think we're doing enough. Absolutely not. I mean, otherwise we'd be in a different situation. And it really is trying to really change the culture. And changing the culture sometimes seems like an enormous task, but if we don't try, we'll never get there. But the culture of medicine is one where, again, we have to be perfectionism. There's no space to talk about feelings. And if we don't talk about feelings, then eventually it's just going to boil and, you know, burst. It's a culture where sleep is just not something necessary. We just plow through with 4 hours of sleep. Exercise, you know, well, when are you going to exercise if you have meetings at 6 o'clock every single day of the week? And you have to be in another meeting at 6 a.m. There's no time to exercise with those lenses that's how medicine should be. We eat poorly because there's no time to cook. So we're just going to eat whatever. We don't have social connection because, you know, everybody's in different places. And so we build a culture with all the things that actually are going to help us are not there anymore, but we call it healthcare and well-being, but there's no well-being in that. We got to go back and think, okay, is this really working? Are we doing this the right way? Because it seems like we're not looking at the numbers and the data. So let's look at actually research-based evidence that has been proven that can kind of reverse all this. Get us out of the sympathetic stress response all the time, stress. Get us into more parasympathetic, releasing the hormones that can be helpful, like dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin. And those are secrete and develop by practicing things like self-compassion, right? Gratitude, you know, expressing emotions, sleeping, exercise, again, good food. All these things that we do secrete those hormones in our brain, and there's a neuroplasticity, our brain changes and we feel different and we act different. So we cannot give if our cup is empty. We got to give with a full cup. And that's sort of not taught in medicine, and just taught like, let's just plow through it and we'll get through it. But we got to balance the energies of like really like a nurturing and still be goal focused, still, you know, have, you know, focus in what we do and be the best of stuff, but like with a nurturing side of medicine, which we just really have completely, you know, ignored and think we're just going to be in a good place. And I don't think that's really the case by looking at the numbers, the data.
What are some ways you incorporate wellness into your own practice?
I really do a lot of things all day. It's not just one. And I think that's sort of the myth, like we got to do one thing and that's it. I mean, these are all tools, like coaching as a tool. And I actually started something called Physician Coach Support, which is free support for life coaching for any physician, where you can come and, you know, get free coaching, because I think that's really important. And so I practice what I preach. I do what I think is important. I self-coach myself, which means like, when I get triggered by something, I think like, why am I getting triggered? Why am I annoyed? You know, what's happening that is triggering me? Because maybe something that's triggering me is something that I'm not kind of fulfilling myself, or I have neglected in myself. So I have to think about like, why? And it's sort of like a curious mind all day. Like think of like 3-year-olds, they ask why all the time. So we got to be curious. Like, why am I feeling that? Like, why am I acting like that? Something's happening. So I think about that. And I kind of coach myself throughout the day. I practice breathing. You know, it's sort of obvious, but it isn't. Conscious breathing, where you breathe, like 3 deep breaths, starts your parasympathetic. And I do that in between patients when I need to kind of release the energy from one to the other. So I can start sort of with a fresh slate and like really focus on that patient and not let the energy from the last person affect this interaction, so I can be present. So I breathe in between patients. And sometimes like I shake it off, literally my body, to get rid of that energy and really be focused. And yeah, I dance also with my staff. And I started this, yeah, during COVID, because, you know, we are all struggling. We are all, you know, not doing well. We need some healing, and movement is healing. I mean, that's why there's dance therapy, and it's been also studied and proven. So we got to dance, because movement heals you. It releases that serotonin, the happy hormone, when you are either dancing or exercising. So at the end of the day on Thursdays in my office, I dance with my staff. At the end of the OR day on Fridays, I dance. And it's just fun. And it's like 7 minutes, because it's 2 songs. And that just makes everybody laugh and be silly and just be joyful, because it's stressful to be in surgery. So I try to incorporate that in my day, because again, it's been proven 10 minutes a day, which is a very short time. It could be how long you wait in Starbucks today. 10 minutes a day of some type of self-care, whether you go, again, drink your coffee by yourself and that brings you happiness, you dance, you read something you like, you listen to music that energizes you. Those 10 minutes a day are going to decrease anxiety, decrease like, you know, depression, increase your resilience and your happiness. So it's like easy stuff all day. You don't have to do some major yoga retreat in Fiji. You can if you want, but it's not about that. It's about little things you can do every day to add like those things to fill your cup. And I also do like meditation at night. I like listen to little YouTube videos, try to just quiet my mind. So I do that. I practice gratitude a lot. Every patient, I'm like, well, the good news is, because there is good news about everything. So when I see a patient, I'm always like, well, we didn't find stones, and that's the good news. Or the good news is this. And we really try to shape and focus the lens of how we see the whole interaction. And it brings people some happiness that they are good news. Now it's not like all bad news. And even in the worst situation, or COVID, whatever, we can find a silver lining of everything. So let's focus on that. And we're going to feel much different than we just focus on everything that's terrible all day. So that's how I kind of practice every day. And again, it's not one size fits all. Like some people don't like one thing. So if prayer works for you, do prayer. If meditation works, do meditation. If walking 10 minutes helps you, do that. But we got to find the time in our day to do that every single day. You know, it's important, just as like, it's important to know all about the latest bladder cancer treatments. I mean, but if we don't treat ourselves, you know, we're going to be in a place that is not going to be as happy. And there's actually a quote from like an Athenian doctor in 82, and it says, these are the duties of a physician. first to heal his mind and to give help to himself before giving it to somebody else. So it's so important, right? This was like thousands of years ago that we're saying this, but we need to practice that. We got to practice what we preach, you know, take care of yourself so we can take care of other people.
Be sure to subscribe to Speaking of Urology on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps. You can get the latest in urology news, practice management advice, and health policy updates by visiting www.urologytimes.com. Thank you for listening.